Guys, it is great to be together. I love being able to have the privilege of coming together to worship and to give thanks to the great God that we have. You know, we in this reading, King David had reared up the tabernacle and he brought the Ark of the Covenant into that tabernacle, and he was overwhelmed with the greatness and the goodness of God. He was privileged with the blessing of being able to worship the great God of heaven that made it all. And he made the statements within that about bringing thanks to God. Guys, I really think, and this is a time of year when we begin to, we think about Thanksgiving, and I want us to focus on Thanksgiving. I want us to focus on how good that we have it. I want us to stop and really contemplate the many blessings that we have in life, because, guys, we are truly blessed. When you stop and think about the blessings of life and the joys that we have in life and the opportunities that the Lord affords us, He's the one that gave them. We think about anything good that we experience or enjoy in life, it came from God. And when we think about doing some good deed for somebody, do we not want to receive some thanks? But do we really stop and think about that when we consider God and what He's done for us? You see, God, in essence, He's kind of out of the picture. You don't see Him really handing those blessings to you. But He does. We can't see Him like we can see one another. But guys, I tell you what, we can see the blessings. And think about your children. You do something for them, they don't even give you a thanks. What do you think? I'll show them. But as we do that, do we realize that it's so easy to not give God thanks? I dare say, I think probably every one of us here could probably hang our head in shame about the many blessings that we have and the times that we forgot to really give thanks to God. Guys, I really feel, and one of the things that I want us to see is that giving thanks goes farther, much farther than just saying, "Thank you, God." But we really show our thanks by doing what He says, by giving into His will, by living for Him and giving Him everything that we've got. It's so easy to put God on the back burner and say, "I'll have time for God later," you know. That's kind of a youth thing, and then we get a little older and it becomes an older thing, and then we get old and it becomes an old thing, and we just never have time. You know, God's always a back burner deal, you know. Can't see Him. Out of sight, out of mind. But guys, we need to give Him thanks. This holiday that we celebrate is got its roots many years ago in October of 1621. And as you look at this, these people celebrated a bountiful harvest that they were able to bring in. They were also excited because four men were sent out to hunt and they killed plenty in one day. A lot of us hunters would like to see that today, wouldn't we? You want to get plenty in one day for everybody. They had 3 days of feasts. I love it because this is a time of year when families get together. Are y'all going to have a great time? You're going to have a wonderful week together. That's really something to be thankful for. You know, and I know a lot of us, we're going to be getting together with family and friends. What a great joy. You know, and they were together and they were feasting, and they even invited outsiders called the Indians. should come and enjoy the feast. I love the opportunity to have others around the table. Second year wasn't quite as good. The year was filled with a lot of misfortune. The crops, they just weren't there. And they didn't have a feast the second year. I really kind of wonder about that sometimes. Is it easy to forget God is actually there when things don't go as good as we want? And not give Him thanks? I think we need to give Him thanks all the time. The third year, the crops were burned and a day of prayer was announced. Well, that's a good start. The rain came along with friends and some flies from the homeland, and the day of Thanksgiving was announced, but it was out without feasting recorded, just a long worship service. Uh-oh, long worship service? We can't have that, you know. But they were giving God thanks. Guys, I think we need to see beyond the celebration. I think we need to see beyond the fact that Thanksgiving should be more than one time a year. And I think we need to recognize the giver of the good blessings that we have to be thankful for as we come to this time of year. I love my family, my Christian family, and my physical family. I love the blessings that God has given me, whether I'm able to enjoy a feast or maybe not much of a feast. God has blessed me with that opportunity. We are so blessed. I think we need to recognize, guys, that Thanksgiving needs to be offered. I think that we need to have an attitude and a mindset of thanksgiving and a recognition that God is the giver of all these things, but it's so easy to put ourselves on the pedestal. We're the important one. We're the one that needs to be thanked. We're the ones that needs to be praised, but God is the one. We need to recognize that we need to give God thanks. Let's go to some passages and look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And let's look at these things and see what God has to say about giving Him thanks. And there's so many things that we could touch on, and I'm just going to look at a few of them in the time that we have today. But He says in verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, as we look at that, we need to recognize that what it means to do things in the name of the Lord. A lot of times people do things wrong and they say they do it by the Lord, right? That's not really in the name of the Lord, is it? In order to do something in the name of the Lord, do we not need to do something that He approves of? Yeah. If we do something that He doesn't like, can we say that that's doing it in His name? Well, you might say that it is, but it's not really. And so God is saying that whatever you do, doesn't matter what it is, do it by His authority or in His name. And so what He's saying then, now, in whatever you do, now stop and think about it. Whatever you do, does that leave anything out? I don't think it does. And so as we go about our life every day, whatever we're doing, we need to do it in His name, but we need to do it with what? Thankfulness. I really think that it's very important that we stop and contemplate every aspect and step of life. Guys, it's so easy to put Him on the back burner. We get busy in life, right? We get so many things going on, and it's so easy to put God on the back burner and not really stop to think. But He's saying, look, give thanks to God in whatever you do. You know, when life gets busy, thank God for the opportunity. Don't allow God to slip your mind. But be asking the question, as you give thanks to God and as you go about your daily life. You see, God wants and deserves thankfulness on our part. And you and I, guys, we need to recognize that we're required to be giving that thankfulness. In Ephesians, back about two or three pages, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we stop and think about that for just a little bit, I really think sometimes as life gives us problems, and I'm kind of going back to that second year, they didn't have any feasting. They had poor crops. Okay? They had a lot of problems and difficulties. And so a lot of times, do you ever have problems and difficulties come along in life? Go back and read that verse again. It says, giving thanks always for all things. It's hard to give thanks for some things, isn't it? How many of you can look back to some difficult things that happened in your life? And now remember, we're looking back in hindsight. You know, we're looking in the past. And when we look at those things and really consider the things that transpired because of those difficult things, can you not honestly say that your life has become better because of some of the struggles that you've been through? Mine has. Now, I don't want to do them again. Okay? I certainly hope to not suffer and go through those same things again. But I look back and I recognize that God took all of those things and those struggles and those problems, and He made me better because of it. He blessed my life in ways that are unimaginable. And at the time, I was thinking, there's no way to find blessings through these problems. But I look back and I say, yes, that I do. I see the blessings and I see the good. And so what's going on in your life? You see, that's the point. You may be struggling. But are we giving thanks to God? Because you see, we got to recognize the greatness of God and how God can take whatever is going on in life and make us stronger and better. We got to trust Him. Now we need to remember that we need to do things in His name or by His authority, because we can't disobey God and be pleasing to Him. That's not going to work it. But as we're striving to live for God and these things come in our life, we need to go through Him in prayer. Okay? Let's never forget about the wisdom and the direction and the guidance that, and the help that we need from God. Don't forget that. We need to ask, but we need to be thankful. We need to, in our mind, acknowledge the great things that He has done for us. And you know what happens when we come before somebody that's done something nice for us and we say, I really want you to know that I appreciate what you do. How does that make us feel? It kind of builds us up, doesn't it? It gives us an encouragement. In fact, it kind of helps us to see how blessed we are because they've done some wonderful things for us, and we feel better because of it. I think we need to see the benefits of thankfulness on our part. And God wants us to be thankful for all things because our God is great, and He can take whatever is going on in your life and make you better. Bless your life. Help you through whatever comes. Now, I don't particularly like it all the time. And many times I find it hard to be thankful. But He always takes care of me. I can see that in history, okay? I just can't see it right now. But He promised. And He told me to be thankful in all things. So we need to be thankful to God. Notice He says, through Jesus Christ. Guys, the only way you get to God is through Jesus. That's what it says. That's where He says to offer thanks. That's what He says to approach the throne of heaven, is to go through Christ. And so we see that, and so we need to be thankful through Him. We also need to recognize, do we really stop and think about worship? Worship is praise and adoration. And as we come together in this public assembly on Sunday to give worship to God. Now think about that for just a minute. God is the audience here. A lot of times people go to worship but be entertained. Find that in the Bible. You see, we come to give. We are in essence the performers and God is the audience. We come before Him and we worship Him the way that He has said to give glory to His name. Okay? I bought Dorothy a flower last night. Do you think it was because I wanted the thing? I didn't want it. I wanted to praise her. I wanted to be thankful for her for what she does and how great she is. And when I come to God, I want to worship Him because of His greatness. And I could have bought her chocolates. You think, may not know, but I know. She wouldn't have liked that. She would have said, Fred, you're worshiping you. Because I know I get to eat it. Okay? We need to stop and think about when that comes to worshiping God. If we really want to worship God, we need to search His Word and see what it says and do what He says. I want to go back to Daniel chapter 6 in the Old Testament. Daniel was a great man of God. He was living in a time that there were some great struggles and he had a habit of worshiping God and praying on a daily basis. And he did it in an open way. And a decree was signed for a punishment. Anybody else, if anybody approaches anybody but the king. And let's look what Daniel does in that. And there's something I want to pick out of that. In verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. His windows opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knee 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He knew that they were watching. He opened them windows. He prayed and gave thanks knowing what was probably coming. Stop and think about that for just a minute. You ever think about the lion's den? Pretty serious business. Okay. Daniel said, I'm going to come to worship God. I'm going to give Him thanks. Instead of saying, God, why'd you allow this to happen? Why is this terrible thing happening, God? He's giving God thanks. We need to give God thanks. We need to accept what He says. We need to follow what He says and give Him thanks in the middle of the problems and the struggles that come. He deserves our praise and worship. He deserves it. He gave us life. He's the one that helps us through all these problems that come in life. We need to give Him our all. We need to be thankful to Him for whatever comes and whatever difficulties. And so even in private, you know, yeah, he kind of made it public by opening his windows, but he was doing it in private. So what do you do at home in private? You know, I've always made the statement, you can fool the brethren, but you can't fool your kids. I know, I've got 3. Okay. Are we giving thanks to God privately, or do we forget that He's there? We need to remember He's there all the time. In Psalm chapter 35, Psalm 35 and verse 18, a Psalm of David. David, a great man after God's own heart, he says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. You know, King David was one of those that, you know, we see some glimpses into his life of private praise. But we also see that he didn't, it wasn't a show thing when he comes in. He comes into the great congregation and he gives thanks to God. And he gave thanks to God privately. And we need to recognize that both are very important. Okay? We need to give thanks to God in whatever situation we find ourselves. You know, God has decreed that the assembly is required. In Hebrews chapter 10, he teaches us that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, we stop and think about that and we say, okay, what's the deal here? Why does God require me to be in the assembly? Well, I don't think it's because he needs the praise. He desires our praise and our thankfulness. But he doesn't need it. He's got myriads of angels around the throne that praise him and give him glory constantly. He doesn't need mine, your praise. He wants it. But then I think, what is it all about? But then it doesn't take me really a long time to stop and think about how much I get out of coming before him and praising in the midst of the great coming. And then it becomes clear. Another good reason to thank God is because God requires me to do the things that are good for me. I think about the joys that I have, and I think about the encouragement that I have by being in the midst of everybody that's here, where we sing praises to God and we pray to God and we go through the acts of worship that God has told us. And I thank him for requiring me to do what's good for me. See, that's the thing about God. You see, we think about a lot of these things where, you know, some people's God requires them to blow themselves up. And I'm thinking, how do you figure that, okay? That doesn't make any sense. My God requires me to do the things that will bless my life. Is that not a good reason to be thankful? And shouldn't that really become an awareness in my mind that causes me to think, I need to give him everything that I have. I need to make his kingdom and his righteousness the priority in my life. As I go to my work in the daytime, as I direct my family, as I choose what kind of fun I'm going to have and what I'm going to do throughout the day, what am I going to do? If I really am thankful to God, I'm going to be thinking about what will give, bring glory to him. Instead of, how can I please me? Because I've learned that everything that God requires of me is good for me and will bless my life. He deserves my thanks. Whether it's in public or private worship, it doesn't matter. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, we recognize that it's not just worship, public and private, but it's in every single thing that we do and that comes around. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now just stop and think about that passage. It is God's will that we give thanks in everything. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, that's what God wants us to do. And we recognize the joys that we give when somebody tells us some nice thing that we've done. And we say, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And we think about how it just makes us feel good, you know. You know, it was recognized. Does God recognize in your life that you're thankful? Does God have that good feeling that he knows you care and you're showing that you care and you're thankful for the things that he's done for you in your life? God doesn't need it. He wants it. He desires that. And it's in whatever things that come, because I stop and think about the blessings that I have. And it's kind of sobering. I remember when Dorothy and I got that car out there. You know, some people might not consider that a blessing. But it's very aerodynamic. It's the nicest car that I've ever had. And it was almost brand new. And most importantly, I didn't pay much for it. So who do I get it from? I didn't get it from the man that sold it. I got it from God. And I'm thinking, how can I not be thankful and use that for God's kingdom? I think about everything that I possess. I think about my wife and how blessed I am to have her. She's amazing. Even when she makes me mad. I love her. God gave her to me. And I thank God every day for my wonderful wife. And for the blessings that he gives. Because I know it came from him. I know whatever I have came from God. It doesn't matter whether it's the clothes I wear, the vehicles I drive, the relationships that I have, the whatever, toys that I possess. And I'm blessed with toys. God gave them to me. And it's tough. It's really tough sometimes to thank God for some of the pain. But I can look at all the pain in the past and say, I wouldn't be where I was at today if it wouldn't be for the pain that I've had. Guys, and you and I can't see that in the midst of the pain, okay? I don't think we can. You know, that James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and count it all joy, count when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. You want to lack nothing? You've got to have joy in the struggles. Have thankfulness to God. Because I tell you what, you and me, we got a lot of lessons to learn. And the problem is, our kids aren't real good about learning lessons unless they get punished. Unless they suffer through some difficulty and have to struggle on their own to get through it. And then they grow and become mature adults. You and I need to recognize that me and you, we're just like the child. He's doing such a good job and trying to grow and become a man. That's where we're at. We just think we're adults. God knows better. And we need to give him that glory. You know, guys, we need to be thankful to God 365 days a year. Not 364. And I really think that's why we're here today. We're not here because of Thanksgiving. Now, maybe we traveled at that holiday season. We got time off, and that's a wonderful thing. But that's not why we're here. We're here because we do want to give God thanks, and we do want to give him the praise for the things that come. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints..." "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention you of my prayers." You know, we're going to look at this thing a little bit more later, but he's saying here that we need to give thanks at all times. But I want us to note something here. The Apostle Paul was thanking God for the blessings of those people. You know, and I think often of the love that you and I share. I'm so thankful that we have that love with one another. I'm so thankful when God sends wonderful people. People that can blush. People that can give me great joy in many ways and that I can share with and I can encourage and strengthen and help them when things are bad or good or rejoice together when they're good. It doesn't matter, but we need to be thankful at all times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, In verse 2 it says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Now stop and think for just a minute. When's the last time you thanked God for some individuals in your life? Did you catch what he said? Making mention of you in my prayers. The Apostle Paul was so thankful for these Thessalonian brethren that when he approached God, he said, "Thank you, God, for letting me be a part of their life." I thank God that we're sharing together in life. Because you give me a lot of strength. Okay? You give me hope, and you give me an excitement and a thirst for tomorrow and the times that we can have together and the work that we can do together. I think it's so wonderful that God has blessed us. I think it's great. I really do. You know? It's nice to be able to be there for one another. Just the joy of helping somebody through a struggle. That really makes life great. You know, and I love that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where it talks about, okay, we take the comfort that God gives to us and we share it with one another. There's a lot of times I need comfort. God's helped me. God's helped you. We're going to share that together. That is our job, and we need to be thankful for the good things that have come in our lives so we have the opportunity to share that with others in the dark times. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, "By him," speaking of Christ, "therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Now, he's going to explain that in the rest of this verse. Watch what it says. So what is the sacrifice of praise to God continually? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Do your neighbors hear you thanking God for your blessings? Do we hear one another saying, "Thank God for the blessings that he has given me in this life"? That's an encouragement. That's a great thing to be around people that have that knowledge where they recognize God's blessings. Because when you and I recognize God's blessings, we're going to be more desirous of living for him and recognizing our smallness and God's greatness. And recognizing the responsibility that we have to follow God, the great God of heaven that's made it all and put it all together and given me life and opportunities. And we need to be thankful and follow him doing the things that he says. Guys, I really believe that if we are thankful as we should be, I believe that it shows in our everyday life. That doesn't mean we don't have ups and downs, because we do, don't we? Those downs, they're really tough and they're hard. But we need to show that thankfulness to God by striving to pick it up and to go forward and being there for each other. That's what I love about the family here. I really have, I've never known the kind of love that we share anywhere else. We've got a special relationship. And we all have struggles. Right? I do. We all go through difficult things, but together we're striving to follow the Lord the way he said. You see, the church better be a little taste of heaven if it's not what Jesus said it was going to be. So anytime there's conflict or problems, we need to come back and figure out what we're messing up in. We need to make the changes and come back and thank God for the opportunity and change our lives and do what he says. Guys, we have so much to be thankful for. We're going to look at more of them this afternoon. But if your life doesn't show thankfulness, thanks are empty words. They're empty words. It has to be manifested in your obedience to God. Or it's really not thanks. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The greatest blessing that we've been blessed with is salvation. You think of, there are two roads in this world that we live in. The wonderful road that we really desire and everybody's decided that they're on is the one that leads to heaven. The other road leads to hell. Now, we don't want to talk about that one because we don't like that. You know, hell? Well, hell is torment. It's a lake of fire. It never ends. It's a terrible place that there's no get out of jail free card. And so we don't want that road, but that's why Jesus came to this earth, because before He came, we had no choice. We were lost. Jesus died on the cross. And then He gave you the roadmap. How to get there. That roadmap simply begins by reading and studying what Jesus has to say in the New Testament. And you know what? When you read it and study it very long, you realize, man, He is wise. And you gain a faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you know what? You won't go to heaven without it. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That means you're going to have to be getting into this or you won't have faith and you can't please God. If you don't know what He says, you can't please God. But the problem is you look at what He says and you realize that there's things that He says that you need to do that you haven't done or that you aren't doing. Well, we kind of pig-headed. Some of us pig-headed like me, you know, and we want to do it our way. But God says, I tell you no, but except you repent, you're going to perish. In Luke 13:3. Repentance simply means that I read the Bible and I find out that something I do doesn't agree with what God says, and I change. I stop doing what I'm doing, and I start doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That's repentance. And so, but if I refuse to repent, I'll perish. You mean I got to have faith and I got to repent? Well, they're both there. They're both there. And so I guess that's true. We got the eunuch and he wanted to be baptized and he said, what's stopping me? He said, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if Jesus is the Son of God, you know what that means? This is really, it really boggles my mind, and I think about it often. He can tell me what to do. He can tell me how to live my life every day. He can tell me how to worship God. He can tell me how to treat my wife, how to raise my children, how to treat the people that I meet in the community, and how to treat and love one another at church. See, He's got the right to do that because He's God's Son. And when I acknowledge that He is the Son of God, I have no excuse. Now, quite frankly, I want Him to be my Lord. Because I know when He tells me things to do that it's good for me and for those around me.
But Jesus also said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter explained that a little bit more. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Not some other reason. You know what? Don't take somebody and throw them in the pool. I used to dunk them when I was young and stout. You know, I'd get all the boys at Bible camp and dunk them in the pool. And we had a lot of fun. I baptized hundreds of boys. But I didn't baptize them in the name of Christ. They were just immersed in water. Jesus teaches that we're baptized for the purpose of washing our sins away in Acts 2:38. But He also says that I've got to be faithful till I die.
That means that my life shows evidence by the things that I do that I'm living for Him. And I don't stop and retire from God. I keep living for God. I don't get busy and just go do other things and say, I'll come back to God some other time. I'll do what He says later. He didn't offer that option. He said, be faithful till death. Then you get the crown of life. What happens if you're not faithful till death? You're not pleasing. We have a lot to be thankful for. God's given us the plan.
We just need to follow it. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to respond to the invitation, guys, for any reason, please do it now while we stand and sing.